Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to the series of talks for humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi from IRIB English Radio, talking with you about the different issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to think upon. There are some other simple issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches them in order to teach us how to think upon them. One of those simple issues is ship. From the very beginning of the life of human beings, one of the transportation system, of human beings were to use ships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His holy book, chapter Baqarah, verse 164, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. He says that next to the skies and the earth and the day and night, ships also deserve and are ought to be thought upon. Why? What is the secret beyond that? Just think upon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created water and at the same time created the wood or the other things, other materials that from which the ships are made. He created them in a way that there could be a flowing situation. Just imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the water in a way that nothing could be, not could flow on the layer of water. Or he imagined that if he had created wood or other metals or other materials in a way that they could not flow in the water, and as soon as you put them on the water, they would go down, sunk in the water. There could be no ship. Very simply. As simple as that. Nowadays, there are many things that if you drop in the water, they go down, they do not remain in the top. They sink in the water. So just imagine if water was created in such way, or the other materials have been created in such way, there could be no ship. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all these things in a way that we now can have ship, and we use them for many, many goals, for transportation, for carrying goods, and many other things. And also mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter Fatir, verse 27, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. You have seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought water from the sky. And then he says, وَمِنَ الْجِبَالِ جُدَدٌ. When you look into the mountains, when you look at mountains, you see the different colors of mountains. بيضٌ, the white ones. حمرٌ, مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهَا, the red ones. وَغَرَابِيبُ سُو, the black ones. So what about the mountains? Just think about that. We will come back after a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, my dear audience, to the series of Talks for Humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi from IRB English Radio. We've been thinking upon the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Holy Quran, talking about the different elements, simple elements we could think upon, but we haven't. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. He's talking about mountains. They look very simple to us, and very easily we disregard them. But nowadays, the scientists say that if mountains were not there, there would be many, many earthquakes on the earth. And mountains are keeping the earth. And this is only one function of them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ, we have made the mountains as the nails of the earth. Like the a nail that keeps the board on the wall, we have planted the mountain in the earth, so the mountains are keeping the earth from shaking. And also, day, night, stars, sun, moon, all of these things. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومَ. We have given you the supervision over the day and night and sun and moon and stars. مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ. All of these issues are under supervision and under your power. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. If you think, you will see that how much power, how much blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given to you. Within these simple issues, there are many signs. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ قِطَعٌ مُتَجَاوِرَاتٌ. There are some farmers, gardeners, they have gardens, they have farms, they plant different seeds of trees, of fruits. Then after a while, you see that different fruits are grown up. جَنَّاتٌ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ. Grape, apple, orange, passion fruit, I don't know, peach, whatever. And then he says, all of these, يُسْقَى بِمَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ. The earth was one, the water was one. So what happened? That from one simple earth, by one simple water, you have different types of fruits in different tastes, in different colors. صِنْوَانٌ وَغَيْرُ صِنْوَانٌ يُسْقَى بِمَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ. The same water that makes the apple tree to give you fruit, the same water goes to next tree, and then you have orange, and then you have date, and you have a banana, and then you have any other kind of fruit with different taste, with different colors, with different shape. But the earth is the same, and the water is the same. So why don't you think upon these issues? وَنُفَضِّلُ بَعْضَهَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Some of them have better taste, and the others have different taste. So these are very simple issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to think upon. And inshallah, I hope that these verses would work on our hearts, so we would think more upon them. Thank you very much. Have a good time. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa ala Nabi.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
$10 an hour, 5 years seniority.
One of the striking auto workers in the U.S. Thousands of United Auto Workers are officially on a strike after three Detroit automakers failed to reach an agreement with the union.
What appears that now is going to happen is the UAW is planning targeted strikes across all three companies. So striking at just specific plants.
We're going to get to that story soon. But did you know that the U.S. is experiencing strikes in other sectors as well? From UPS, the carrier service, to Starbucks, the coffee chain,
we pull the shots.
We call the shots.
Workers at many U.S. companies are taking to the streets. In short, they are fighting for better pay and improved working conditions.
We have hotel workers on strike across the region, everywhere from the LA Grand, which joined the strike this morning, JW Marriott, Ritz-Carlton.
We have a very weak labor law. There are a lot of aspects of our economy and our politics that concentrate a lot of power in the hands of corporations.
And there may be more strikes to come. UPS employees started striking before reaching a deal. That would have involved some 340,000 workers. Close to 3,000 Starbucks workers protested what they called unfair labor practices. 1,400 members of the United Electrical Workers went on a strike after rejecting the company's contract offer. 6,000 workers at Boeing's Aerosystems went on a strike, also rejecting the company's contract offer. Add to that 80 Amazon drivers who protested unfair labor practices. And McDonald's employees in California went on a strike over paid sick leave. Well, it becomes evident how much of a common occurrence these strikes are. And we can't forget Hollywood. Here's Susan Sarandon, a famous Hollywood actress, who joined film and television writers on picket lines for better pay, health insurance, and improved working conditions.
Well, I've been here a number of times, and it always makes me feel optimistic because it means that there is a chance if we stick together that we can get justice, and that's what we're here for.
General Motors, Ford Motor Company, and Chrysler, well-known names in the car industry, brand names with record incomes, but not so for the average worker.
They should be paid more. The corporation is making billions of dollars, and these people have been with them, and the cost of living and stuff like that. They've been with this company 20, 30 years.
Tens and thousands of the United Auto Workers are officially on a strike. The three Detroit automakers have failed to reach an agreement with the union, which represents about 146,000 workers. One major issue on the table, workers' pay. The union has proposed 40% hourly pay increases over the next 4 years. The average U.S. auto worker on a manufacturing production line earns about $28 per hour as of August. That's up only $1 from the previous year. The problem began on an agreement that the auto workers made with the government, which bailed out the big three automakers. The problem is, the workers hired in 2007 or earlier earned an average of $33 per hour, but the ones hired after 2007 earn only $17 an hour. Why? Because this agreement was made as a goodwill gesture to help the automakers get back on their feet after the crisis. But now auto workers' hourly earnings have fallen 19.3% since 2007. And that is not fair as they see it. Even the U.S. politicians see it that way, like Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
The fight you are waging here is not just about decent wages and working conditions and pensions in the automobile industry. It is a fight to take on corporate greed and tell the people on top this country belongs to all of us, not just a few.
But strikes in the U.S. are happening at a more frequent pace compared to previous years. There were 424 work stoppages in 2022, including 417 strikes and 7 lockouts. Work stoppages increased by 52% from 2021 to 2022. The number of workers involved in work stoppages increased by 60% from 2021 to 2022. The number of striking workers as a consequence saw an increase. Since the year 2021, the numbers have been rising steadily, with 650,000 to have threatened to go on a strike so far this year. The strikes point to a deeper problem within the U.S. economy. Things are not that rosy when it comes to Americans' income and economic well-being. For example, homelessness has been on the rise in several states, most notably California, and also in New York City.
The unhoused population has exploded with the addition of the new arrivals. For example, here at St. Bartholomew's Church, where we start serving, we're seeing on average anywhere from 250 to 275 people, more or less regularly. Once the new arrivals started coming, our numbers got up over 400 people.
The UN Migration Agency, IOM, has raised an alarm over the high number of migrants killed while crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. It has described the U.S.-Mexico border as the world's deadliest land route for migrants. At least 686 deaths and disappearances were reported in the border crossing last year. The figure represents nearly half of the 1,457 migrant deaths and disappearances recorded through the Americas in 2022, the deadliest year on record since IOM's Missing Migrants Project began in 2014. The data underscores the growing death toll and increasing risks that migrants face throughout the region. These figures represent the lowest estimates available, as many more deaths are likely to go unrecorded due to a lack of data from official sources. Nearly half of the deaths on the U.S.-Mexico border were linked to the hazardous crossing of the Sonoran and the Chihuahuan deserts, far more than other desert regions where irregular migration is prevalent.
The International Organization for Migration documented the deaths and disappearances of 686 migrants on the U.S.-Mexico border in 2022, making it the deadliest land route for migrants worldwide last year. The figure represents nearly half of the 1,457 migrant deaths and disappearances recorded throughout the Americas last year, the deadliest on record since the Missing Migrants Project began in 2014.
Hundreds of thousands of migrants and asylum seekers have taken long and perilous paths through South and Central America and Mexico in hopes of reaching the U.S. border to apply for protection. Many are fleeing rampant gang violence, poverty, political persecution, and other crises in their home countries. This is while the U.S. is accused of ignoring the plight of migrants. From an economic perspective, it is the U.S. that benefits from the contribution of migrants to the nation's GDP. Many of those immigrants that come to the U.S. through its southern borders end up working in farms and construction sites owned by big companies. It's been argued that increased immigration promotes U.S. economic growth and helps tackle labor shortages and inflation. U.S. President Joe Biden, who is under pressure from Republicans, has launched new restrictions and programs to discourage people from trying to apply for asylum at the frontier. The measures have been put in place amid record numbers of arrivals at the border since he took office in early 2021. The measures introduced by the Biden administration include a rule that disqualifies people from seeking asylum in the U.S. if they did not first apply in countries that they crossed earlier in their journeys. Rights groups have slammed the measure as an asylum ban. The Biden administration has also opened so-called safe mobility centers in Latin America to allow asylum seekers to apply for U.S. protection in third countries instead of at the border with Mexico. But migrants and asylum seekers continue to head to the border. For years, Central American nations have stepped up immigration enforcement efforts, often at the behest of the United States, erecting new obstacles for the steady stream of people making the journey north. The journey is plagued with violence, with areas under the control of criminal networks and armed groups.
The Darien Gap, an inhospitable jungle border crossing between Panama and Colombia, saw 141 documented migrant deaths in 2022. The remote and dangerous nature of this area and the presence of criminal gangs along the route means that this figure likely does not represent the actual number of lives lost.
The surge in arrivals has piled political pressure on the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden, whose Republican rivals have accused him of causing chaos at the border. In 2021, U.S. authorities reportedly detained 1.7 million migrants trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border.
Let me be clear. The lifting of the Title 42 public health order does not mean our border is open. In fact, it is the contrary. Our use of our immigration enforcement authorities under Title 8 of the United States Code means tougher consequences for people who cross the border illegally.
Marking an all-time high and highlighting the deepening political and humanitarian challenges the Biden administration is facing on immigration, the U.S. has been increasingly reliant on Mexico to stem the flow of migrants. As it returns to Mexico, the majority of people who arrive at the border under a Trump-era border restriction enacted due to the coronavirus pandemic.
For
President Ebrahim Raisi has underscored Iran's full authority on its recently released assets. Raisi said it is the Islamic Republic that decides how to spend the funds and that the money will be spent, quote, wherever we need it.
This money belongs to the Islamic Republic of Iran, and naturally we will decide, the Islamic Republic of Iran will decide to spend it wherever we need it.
So if I hear you clearly, that it will be used for more than humanitarian purposes in your view?
Humanitarian means whatever the Iranian people needs. So this money will be budgeted for those needs. And the needs of the Iranian people will be decided and determined by the Iranian government.
Raisi made the remarks in an exclusive interview with the American broadcast television network NBC in the capital, Tehran. He pointed to the last month's deal between Iran and the United States to exchange prisoners and to secure the release of $6 billion U.S. dollars of Iranian funds that had remained blocked in two South Korean banks since 2018 because of U.S. pressure on Seoul. The administration of U.S. President Joe Biden claimed at the time that the funds and the proceeds of Iranian oil sales to South Korea could only be spent on humanitarian purposes.
The system is set up such that this money, these funds, can only be parceled out for humanitarian purposes.
The Biden administration has announced that it had taken concrete steps to clear the way for the prisoner exchange and also issuing a waiver that allows international banks to transfer the $6 billion to Qatar without the threat of U.S. sanctions. The waiver means that European, Middle Eastern and Asian banks will not be in violation of U.S. sanctions in converting Iran's money, which was frozen in South Korea, and transferring it to Qatar's central bank, where it will be held for Tehran. Top Iranian officials have emphasized that there is no connection between the prisoner exchange agreement reached with the United States and the release of Iran's frozen assets. U.S. sanctions have mostly targeted Iran's sale of crude oil and its ability to engage in dollar transactions in the global banking system. The Iranian funds were illegally blocked under the pretext of U.S. sanctions. Meanwhile, Iran's permanent mission to the United Nations has confirmed that five Iranians detained illegally in the United States on charges of circumventing U.S. sanctions will soon be released as part of a prisoner swap deal between Tehran and Washington. The five Iranian detainees were identified as Kaveh Lutfullah Afrasiabi, Mehrdad Muin Ansari, Amin Hassanzadeh, Reza Sarhangpur Kofrani, and Kambiz Attar Kashani. The prisoner exchange agreement was officially announced on August 10th, following 2 years of indirect negotiations between Tehran and Washington. In a gesture of goodwill, Iran has moved four American detainees from prison to house arrest. They joined the fifth American who was already under house arrest in Tehran. Meanwhile, Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has expressed the Islamic Republic's readiness to negotiate last year's draft agreement aimed at salvaging the 2015 nuclear deal, also known as a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action with the JCPOA, and removing illegal U.S. sanctions. Amir Abdollahian underscored the current administration's efforts to neutralize Western-led sanctions against the Islamic Republic while keeping the window open for negotiations to remove the illegal U.S. bans. The United States, under former President Donald Trump, abandoned the JCPOA in May 2018 and reinstated sanctions that the agreement had lifted. The talks to revive the 2015 deal kicked off in the Austrian capital city of Vienna in April 2021 with the intention of removing anti-Iran sanctions and examining the U.S. seriousness in rejoining the JCPOA. The discussions, however, have been at a standstill since August 2022 due to Washington's insistence on its hard-nosed position of not removing all the sanctions that were slapped on Tehran by the previous U.S. administration.
What the Americans want to do is have a JCPOA where they don't abide by their commitments in full, and the Iranians do so. And the Iranians are not going to have that again. When Obama signed the deal, he systematically violated the deal from day one. And then Trump tore up the deal. And Biden, despite criticizing Trump, he pursued Trump's maximum pressure policy, which was directed at ordinary Iranians.
Iran has consistently said that it has not left the negotiations with the Western side and that it was the United States which has blocked the talks with its excessive demands.
Iran's leader, addressing thousands of people from the provinces of Sistan and Balochistan and South Khorasan. He also said the U.S. and Europe do not have the same powers as before and are declining. The leader may be referring to the rise of powerful blocs like BRICS or the SCO. BRICS in particular has just recently expanded from its current 5 members to include new members like Iran and Saudi Arabia. And here's a map of the world outlining BRICS countries. It is pretty obvious how the U.S. and Europe are the minority. U.S. intervention in other countries' affairs, whether through wars, regime change, or economic sanctions, has led to the polarization of the world. The leader called the U.S. failure in Syria and the humiliating escape from Afghanistan two obvious examples of the decline of American power. It's a toss-up between which of these two failures were more humiliating. Right now, the U.S. is occupying Syria, looting the country from its oil, and selling it to provide for his troops there, and by many accounts, to support the terrorists in northern Syria. That is a low for any country. A big slap in the face to France and colonialism. From Mali to Niger to Gabon, African countries are rising against the colonial country France, which has held these countries captive economically. But the people of these countries have now risen, saying that enough is enough. Iran's leader has said you hear these days how the African countries that were under the influence of France are rising against it one after another. Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader stated that Washington is working on ethnic and sectarian fault lines in Iran with the aim of creating a crisis in the country. Some of the areas that he outlined, called crisis points, are ethnic differences, religious differences, and the issue of gender and women. But this is something that the U.S. has executed for quite some time. Back in the year 2007, it was revealed that the CIA was funding ethnic separatist groups to create instability in Iran. These incidents were carried out by the Kurds in the west, the Azeris in the northwest, the Ahwazi Arabs in the southwest, and the Baluchis in the southeast. The incidents included bombing and assassination campaigns against Iranian soldiers and government officials. There was also the Iran Freedom Support, an act of Congress approved by the former U.S. President George W. Bush, that appropriated millions of dollars to spend money in support of groups opposed to the Iranian government. Iran's leader statements have come at a time when there is an intense campaign to turn the unfortunate passing away of Mahsa Amini's one-year anniversary into a violent one.
The commission is the premier UN body for promoting gender equality and empowering women. It cannot do its important work if it's being undermined from within. Iran's membership at this moment is an ugly stain on the commission's credibility.
One member, a bullying member, notorious for disobeying the UN Charter and international law, intends to pursue its unlawful request to remove an elected member from the commission only on the basis of unfounded claims and fabricated arguments.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Emmet is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, we welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. Stay tuned.
عظیم الشان علیه و آله السلام فرمود یا علی ان الله حرم الجنه على كل فاحش بدی.
In a beautiful hadith, Prophet Muhammad told Imam Ali alayhi salam, Allah closes the doors of heaven for a person who uses bad words and foul language. Also in another hadith we read, if a person uses foul language, Allah will remove his blessings from the life of such a person, and he will lose the halal sustenance gradually in his life.
امام صادق دوستی داشتم من دوباره باز مراجعه کردم لا یکاد و یفارقو.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam had a friend who was always accompanying the Imam. Once, this friend of the Imam insulted a servant and didn't apologize to him. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam cut his ties with such a person until the end of his life. This shows the importance of using good language when interacting with the people. In other words, if a person uses foul language, he or she will lose the chance of visiting the infallibles, both in this world and the hereafter. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, how repentance can improve our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is an honor to be here, dear friends. We are talking about how repentance can improve our Islamic lifestyle. So one of the things that is really emphasized in Islam is the idea of repentance and asking for forgiveness. Now, this repentance is something which has been encouraged very much in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. The divinely appointed imams, peace and blessings upon them all, as well as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, have emphasized the idea of repentance. Now, in one way or the other, unfortunately, we end up committing errors, we end up committing mistakes, and in other words, we end up committing sins. Now, these sins that we commit are in reality a form of disobedience towards the Almighty Allah. And of course, this disobedience of the Almighty Allah has with it repercussions and consequences. Now, the most fundamental consequence of committing sins is the anger, the dissatisfaction, the wrath, and the discontentment of the Almighty Allah. This in itself is truly considered one of the greatest losses that a human being can face in their life, and that is the discontentment and the dissatisfaction of a human being, of a person, from the Almighty Allah. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about how repentance can improve our Islamic lifestyle. Now, we haven't really talked about how we should do and conduct repentance, but that is a subject for another program. But so far, it's really important for us to know that repentance can improve our Islamic lifestyle. Repentance will surely improve our Islamic lifestyle. Now, repentance is something that needs to be done with sincerity. We can't do or conduct or be involved in repentance unless it is sincere. It is from the bottom of our hearts. And it is interesting in the traditions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, we find that His Eminence has told us that whenever we commit an error, we should immediately ask for forgiveness. We should immediately and sincerely ask for repentance. And then we should hope and pray that our repentance is accepted from the Almighty Allah, and then we should try to not commit that sin again. But still, repentance is like this fresh river water in which we wash ourselves away from the misdeeds, from the sins. And it is in this manner that repentance improves our Islamic lifestyle, because it is a constant purifier for our souls and our spirits.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
The United States is going to hell, former President Donald Trump has said. Trump has said that re-electing him in the upcoming presidential election would give the nation a last chance to turn things around. He told the Sirius XM satellite radio station that the United States is in a rapid decline. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT wrote in this regard, the U.S. ex-president says the 2024 election will be the most important in American history. Donald Trump has said America is in rapid decline, and re-electing him would give the country a last chance to turn things around. Trump told journalist Megyn Kelly in an interview for Sirius XM satellite radio station recently, "Our country is going to hell. Our country is going down." The U.S. has one last chance, which makes the presidential vote in 2024 the most important election we've ever had, he claimed. The former leader acknowledged that he said the same about his victorious presidential race of 2016, but insisted that the next year's vote will be even more crucial. Trump insisted, "Our country is going bad, our country is being destroyed," under the Biden administration, adding, "We are a nation in serious decline, and I think I can turn it around very fast." With Trump currently indicted in four separate cases, Kelly asked how concerned he was about potentially ending up behind bars. The Republican candidate replied, "I have a great attitude. It doesn't affect me at all because I'm fighting for the country. I'm fighting for the people." The 77-year-old said the good polling numbers make him confident he's going to win the election no matter what happens because the people know the charges are fake. Recently, a survey published by Quinnipiac University suggested that 62% of Republican voters want Trump to be their party's nominee in 2024. The poll also said Trump is currently trailing the incumbent President Joe Biden by just 1%. Trump reiterated his earlier claim that he does not believe Biden will stand for re-election in 2024, due to the 80-year-old's apparent poor health. He said of Biden, "I watched him yesterday. He couldn't put two sentences together. He can't talk. It's not an age thing. It's a competent thing." In August, a Wall Street Journal poll found that 73% of U.S. voters think Biden is too old to seek a second term, while only 36% described him as mentally fit to fulfill his duties. However, Trump's age, at just 3 years younger than Biden, is apparently also an issue for many Americans. A study by the NBC in June said that 55% of those surveyed had concern about his physical and mental health. According to Press TV, Trump now faces 4 criminal indictments in 3 separate jurisdictions and a number of civil lawsuits as he continues his campaign. The charges stem from his efforts to overturn the 2020 election, his retention of classified documents after his defeat, and hush money payments. The Republican Party's front-runner, however, has told millions of his followers that prosecutors are only playing politics. He faces roughly 75 years in prison if convicted on all accounts. But if he's back in power, he could put off serving prison time until his term concludes. Trump, however, said recently that it is very unlikely that he would pardon himself if he wins another term in 2024, and that he didn't do anything wrong.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Karimi is the guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of swearing. Especially in the religious context, the people do swearing by the holy names. It could be the holy name of God, the holy names of the Prophet, or the holy names of the great men of Allah on earth, also the holy book of the Muslims, the Holy Quran. Is swearing at all a right action to be done by the Muslims, and if not, why?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A qasam, or swearing by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or holy people, or the noble book of Quran, if it is a lie, I mean, if you're telling a lie through swearing, this is one of the major sins, I mean, al-kaba'ir.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some verses and many narrations in this regard addressing the Muslims not to swear if they are going to tell lies. So, for example, chapter Baqarah, verse 224, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تجعلوا الله عرضة لأيمانكم أن تبروا وتتقوا وتصلحوا. There are some different interpretations in this verse. One of them is that do not make Allah as a subject to which you are going to swear for, I mean, your personal affairs.
Yes.
Of course, this is not only, I mean, according to one understanding, this is referring to whether it is true or lie. I will explain more later.
Okay.
It's been mentioned on the occasion of the revelation of this verse that the daughter of Abdullah bin Rawaha, one of the companions of the Prophet, she had some quarrels with her husband, and Abdullah tried to, act as intermediary. And once he swears by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this and then this verse was revealed.
So in a case of a disagreement or dispute, is it so?
Yeah, I mean, in this case, he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but, I mean, not for a good purpose. Mm-hmm. He swore that I'm not going to act as intermediary anymore. Mm-hmm. So it was not for a good purpose. Okay. And then for swearing, which is for, I mean, wrong purposes. I mean, we are going to tell a lie through swearing. We have verse 77 of chapter Al-Imran regarding a group of Jewish people at the time of the Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بَعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. There shall be no share in the hereafter for those who sell Allah's covenant and their oath for a paltry gain. Mm-hmm. So selling the oath, meaning that you are swearing by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, to tell a lie. So there are a couple of punishments for this group of people, and this is somehow threatening. أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. As I mentioned, they have no share in the hereafter. And وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will not talk to them, of course, not physically speaking. وَلَا يَنْدُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will not look at them, again, spiritually, yes, speaking. Mm-hmm. وَلَا يُزَكِّهِمْ. Allah is not going to purify them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And there would be a painful punishment for them. So, as I mentioned, one of the actions, one of the bad actions done by this group of people is that they swear,
yes,
to tell lies.
Mm-hmm. Was it a special case for the businessmen or something like that, the traders?
No, for a group of Jewish people,
Jewish people,
right, mentioned in the occasion of the revelation. Or in another case, we have Munafiqun, the hypocrites, in chapter Munafiqun, verse 2. One of the features mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Munafiqun, mm-hmm, is that اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة. They make a shield of their oath. I mean, they're swearing, but to tell lies.
That's right.
فَسَدُّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And bar from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this group of people, for Munafiqun, Allah says, قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهِ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. May Allah assail them. Where do they astray? And many narrations in this regard. So the point, I will share some narrations. So the point is that to swear, to tell a lie, is one of the major sins.
Okay.
And people should be very much cautious not to swear, mm-hmm, for telling lies.
For telling lies.
Yeah.
So the purpose here and the intention is very important.
Exactly.
But we know that usually the Arabs in their talks, even in their colloquial speaking, in their daily talks, they use a lot, wallahi, billahi, mm-hmm, okay? They use a lot these cases. It becomes a part of their, we can say, daily routine talks. What about that case?
I will come to that. We believe that based on the narrations, it is very much disliked or makruh to swear by the name, mm-hmm, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for personal issues, mm-hmm, for personal affairs, when there is no need to swear, mm-hmm, by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, for example, addressing one of his companions, Sudayr, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Ya Sudayr man halafa billahi kadiban kafar. If a person swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kadiban and he is telling lies, then it is as if he is a disbeliever. Mm-hmm. It's not disbelief, mm-hmm, meaning that he is out of the religion of Islam, meaning that he has committed a major,
okay,
sin. وَمَنْ حَلَفَ بِاللَّهِ صَادِقًا أَثَمْ. And the person who is swearing by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is sadiq, he is telling the truth, still he is Atham, and the scholars say that this is referring to its being very much disliked. So even if you're going to tell a truth, but there is no need for you to tell, to, mm-hmm, swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you mentioned, as a habit, you may, yes, say, Wallahi tallahi, this is very much disliked.
Or for example, in the courts, you know,
yeah,
they put their hands on the Holy Quran.
That's another scenario. Uh-huh. In that case, we need to swear. I will come to that.
Okay.
I mean, in some, so the case of swearing to tell lies is very clear.
Yes.
Is a major sin.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are sadiq, if you are going to
Tell the truth.
Yeah. Then we have two scenarios. Sometimes we are in need of a truth, in need of swearing to show the truth of a reality,
as like an in the court. Authentication, for example. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Especially in the courts and for religious purposes. But when it comes to personal affairs, people are very much encouraged not to swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason is clear. The name is very holy. So it's too holy for us to use the name for just personal affairs, personal issues, like for selling our goods, for example. You see many traders.